Thank you very much. So today I like to talk about a relatively unknown method to monitor soil moisture. Most of the papers and materials we have seen so far deal with remote sensing of soil moisture using passive or active radar systems. But as I will show you, we also can use optical thermal satellite imagery, like from Landsat and MODIS, to get the soil moisture. And not only in the top centimeter of the soil, but really in the entire root zone. And so we really capture the moisture that is available to interact with the atmosphere. How do I? Okay. So first, something about the importance of doing this research objective. Then I will shortly describe the methods, some study areas, and the validation we carried out, and conclusions. So we need root zone soil moisture maps, that is the soil moisture that interacts with the atmosphere, for weather and climate predictions. Of course, we need it for management of rain-fed and irrigated agricultural lands. We need it to understand the organization of natural ecosystems. It's really convenient to have, as we have shown in previous work, to initialize hydrologic models to come up with good predictions of the peak hydrograph, or to determine groundwater recharge. Also, if you want to look at vehicle mobility in remote areas to give some support relief efforts, it's very important to know soil moisture conditions. And then finally, I have done some work with the Army Corps of Engineers to determine soil moisture, since it is affecting the sensors that are being used to detect improvised explosive devices. Why would we use remote sensing? I have been measuring soil moisture all my life, even along some long transects in the Jornada in New Mexico of 3 kilometers long, with about 100 neutron probes, and I can tell you it is a lot of work, and still you only have one transect of 3 kilometers. And what we really need to work on a spatial scale is to have soil moisture over entire regions with a high resolution, like the resolution of Landsat, 30 by 30 meter. And the method I will describe allows us to get that product. And so the objective then is to evaluate an empirical or semi-empirical equation that was published by Scott and his co-authors in 2003, how we can determine root zone soil moisture using remote sensing. Their product is based on the relationship between the evaporative fraction, that basically is some kind of a relative evapotranspiration, and the degree of soil moisture S. They found this empirical relationship based on measurement in irrigated lands. Of course, every farmer and every soil scientist knows that if you have a high evapotranspiration, you will have a moist soil, and if you have a low evapotranspiration, you will have a dry soil. So there is a relationship between soil moisture and relative ET. Scott and Alliday came up with their semi-empirical relationship based on measurements in Kansas and Spain, and they used then that relationship to validate it against the measurements in Pakistan and in Mexico. And here you see that validation on the horizontal axis, the soil moisture measured in the root zone of the field, and on the vertical axis, the soil moisture as determined by a remote sensing method. We have done a qualitative validation in New Mexico by looking at transects along the Rio Grande River. There were no soil moisture measurements available, so we had to rely on a qualitative validation. And what we did is we used the following method to calculate the evaporative fraction, and from there going to the root zone soil moisture.
Do we have a pointer here?
You just have to use the mouse. If you move it, it'll bring up an arrow there.
Okay, oh, that works, that's very good. So we start out with a Landsat image that has seven bands, visible bands, near-infrared, mid-infrared, and very important, the thermal band. And then we can use operational algorithms like CBAL, surface energy balance algorithm for land, or metric, mapping evapotranspiration with internal calibration. And these algorithms are very operational and used on a daily basis by organizations like the World Bank or the State Engineer's Office in the Western United States. From CBAL and metric, we get a map of the latent heat and sensible heat fluxes, and from that we can calculate the evaporative... The evaporative fraction, as discussed before, and once we have the evaporative fraction, we can calculate the roots on soil moisture as ratio, as is described here. We go here. So let's see how we use CBAL in this case to calculate soil moisture in the Middle Rio Grande Valley on June 16, 2002. So we calculate the latent heat flux using CBAL. CBAL gives us also the sensible heat flux. From these two images, we can calculate the evaporative fraction. And from this, we go to the soil moisture map for this entire area with a length of about 100 kilometers. Then here we have a transect that we are going to consider in some detail. This dark line is the latent heat flux, evapotranspiration. This line is the sensible heat flux, and we can use that to calculate the evaporative fraction and the soil moisture. And here we do the qualitative evaluation. We see that in the desert area, both sides of the river, soil moisture is very low. Here we have an ag field that is irrigated, a high soil moisture. Here we have some bare soils. Here we have another ag field. The river, of course, is quite high because it's water and very wet. But look here at the sandbar in the river, low soil moisture. Here we have another ag field, and here we have a residential area where we have some irrigated lawns, parking lots, etc. But overall, this is a very good validation of what we have observed here on this soil moisture map. We also did a validation on the high plains in Texas, where we were using data from Bridget Scanlon and her colleagues. They installed water potential measurements to a depth of about 10 meters. And so we really had very good soil moisture data. And if we then compare the soil moisture data in what we thought was the root zone, we see that under dry land conditions, we really have a nice correlation. The negative water potential becomes less negative if you move from here to here. And we see indeed also that the degree of soil moisture, root zone soil moisture, is increasing as we expect. In the rangeland areas, we had more data. And generally, we have a very good relationship. And keep in mind that this number 0.3 and 0.1 is the relative degree of soil moisture. It goes from 0 to 1. So these are pretty dry soils, but we see an amazingly good correlation with two outliers. And these outliers point us to the issue that we have to deal with. We cannot calibrate roots on soil moisture images with only soil moisture measurements. We not only need soil moisture measurements, we also need measurements of the root distribution with depth, and more importantly, where the roots are picking up their water. And these outliers here are probably caused by a very irregular water distribution in the root zone, let's say after a dry period, a big rainstorm, a dry period again, and then we don't know exactly how the plants are picking up their water. However, using the CBAL method, we can see how the plants are reacting to the soil moisture they have access to. Here are then two examples of soil moisture maps we can make at a large scale. If you use a Landsat image that is 180 by 100 kilometer, pixel size 30 by 30 meter of New Mexico, Rio Grande Valley, the mountains, a little bit wetter, and here the eastern part of the state. You also can, Landsat images are available every 2 weeks. MODIS images are available every 2 or 3 days. And then we get soil moisture pixels with a pixel size of about 500 by 500 meter. But we see that overall the soil moisture distribution is very similar. And we have done extensive work to up and down scale between MODIS and Landsat soil moisture. So the conclusions are that the seawall metric approach can provide routes on soil moisture distribution wherever you have a Landsat or MODIS image available. The nice thing about this is you can go back in time. And you say, what would have been the soil moisture in my area in 1992, the first week of June? And you can go to the USGS site, see what images are available, and if you have a good image available, you can make a soil moisture map and use that. Finally, for validation of the routes on soil moisture map, we need information not only on soil moisture distributions, but also on root distributions, and more importantly, how roots are reacting to vertical differences in soil moisture. And if any of you have some ideas about it, I really would like to know, because I'm a little bit stuck on how to tie in the roots to my validation. Now I'm ready to entertain some questions. Now, what we did there, first we analyzed Landsat images, about six different images. And so that was an area of 180 by 180 kilometer. And then Bridget had two sites where she had installed her sensors to a depth of 10 meter. And so what we did then is we looked at the pixels on the soil moisture map on the dates that we had available to see what soil moisture degree we got out of the seawall procedure. And that we compare with the average soil moisture conditions over the root zone depth that we believed was present there. But there was not really information about the depth of the root zone, but since we knew the landscape well, we think that we came up with a reasonable estimation for that. Well, you see, of course, that also is an issue that you have point measurements that you compare with measurements of 30 by 30 meter. And therefore, what I liked here from these data, I never look for an exact match. I mean, that's almost impossible. But what you really like to see is a trend, that the trend is correct. Steve? Yeah, just one, because it takes a lot of money to go 10 meter deep and install all those probes. Yeah, Bridget, of course, she is interested in deep groundwater recharge. That is the reason she goes so deep. But if you would go 2 meter deep, but what you really need, I think, or what I'm looking for, is a set of data where we know the soil moisture, as well the layers where the roots are taking up their water under variable soil moisture conditions. I think that is a missing link. But I have used this method now for more than 6-7 years, all over the world basically, and it always makes sense. This really is a high quality soil moisture map. It's qualitative. But if you use it, for example, to initiate the hydrologic model to determine the peak hydrograph, as you did in the Kishwaukee watershed of Illinois, immediately it is right on. And other people have had the same results.
So I understand how you get the effective depth of the method in rooting zones. What about bare soil? What do you estimate as the sort of effective depth of the water content?
Yeah, that's a very good question. As I said before, what we are measuring is the soil water that is interacting with the atmosphere. So if you have a bare soil, we know that the evaporation from the bare soil maybe goes to a depth of 10, 15, maybe 5 centimeter. So that is what we are measuring then. So during winter time, if the trees have no leaves, we are looking at a depth of about 10, 15 centimeters. But then during the growing season, if the roots become active to a depth of 1 or 2 meters, then that is the depth we are looking at. Yeah, Landsat images are available every 16 days, and the MODIS images are available every day, but we only can use MODIS images that look straight down, so in practice every 3 or 4 days. But then, of course, you need the image without clouds. That is the disadvantage of this technique. You cannot look through the clouds. That is not a big problem in the western United States. But for example, in Illinois, you really have to look for holes in the clouds to do this technique. Nevertheless, I also have used this technique in Panama, did some work in Suriname and Colombia, and often there you may find one image every 10 years or so. But you see, imagine the information you get out of a image at the end of the dry season about the distribution of soil moisture that is out there. Immediately you know about soil water storage, you know about the landscape, and so although you cannot give the series of images to determine water use over a whole season as we can in New Mexico, but even a snapshot of a forest tells you a lot, and I think it is worthwhile to use this technique.
All right.